and I will be content.
Amen. Got any exciting folks in the house this morning? All right. Awesome. We've been in our Supernatural series, and we've talked about spiritual warfare and how the enemy that we fight is not necessarily the person who cut you off this morning on the way to church. It's not flesh and blood, but we have a very spiritual and very real enemy. Amen. And his name is Satan. But guess what? We have the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We have the sword of the Lord, which is able to cut down that devil, right? And so you are not powerless. And though we have a powerful enemy, the Lord has not left you empty-handed. And so last week we talked about how there's even angels that are fighting on our behalf. How many of you guys are thankful? I know there are angels, because I should have been dead in that car accident, but I have a praying mom who prays for me each and every day and says, no way. And so that angel came and rescued me and kept me safe in that accident. I know his delivering power, amen. So there are angels, and we talked about how they are before the throne of God, and how envious are we of them to be in God's presence and in worshiping him, and that they make war for us, and that they are, you know, they even minister unto humans and they protect us. And this week we're going to talk about their opponent in this cosmic battle. We're going to talk about demons. It got quiet all of a sudden. It just like the air just got sucked out of the room. It's just like, wow, we're talking about demons. Yeah, we're going there this morning. Say, demons, they got to go. That's what I got to say about demons. They got to go. We ain't got time for no demons in this place. But they are the opponent in this cosmic battle. And so just to kind of give you a little background about this, we've talked about how angels are created by God for the glory of God. Well, I would also say that demons were created to serve the purposes of God. They were created originally as angels. But then Lucifer, and by remember Lucifer, he was the most beautiful angel, and he was a worship leader. He led worship in heaven when he desired worship for himself, and he began to elevate himself as God. God said, I ain't having that. Sent Lucifer, stripped him of his name, said, nope, you're no longer deserving of that name. Stripped him of his name, cast him to the earth, and cast all of the angels that followed him to the earth. And now we know them as demons. So demons, they're on the earth. I just want you to know, let's just set the stage, because God has already pronounced judgment upon demons. He's already pronounced judgment upon Satan, that one day they will be thrown into the lake of fire, and they will burn forever and ever and ever. God has already pronounced judgment over demons. So every time the devil reminds you of something you did in your past, and you're this, and you're that, and you did this, and how dare you lift your hands in church, you pretending to be holy, you remind him of his future. Yeah, you're going to burn. You're going to burn. Get thee behind me, Satan. You will not prevail. I want to read something in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. It says, he is the image of the invisible God. This is talking about Jesus. The firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible. So did you get that? Did you get that? Did you catch it? All things were created through Jesus and for his glory. Whether it's visible, things that we can see in this earth, or whether it is invisible, things that we cannot see that are taking place in the spirit realm. All things were created by him and for him. Now you're really wondering, how in the world are demons created for the glory of God? We're going to show you this morning. So, whether visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Amen. And he is before all things. Amen. And in him all things hold together. So Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. He came to the earth we are able to see God whenever we see Jesus walking on the earth. Amen. So he's God manifested in the flesh. He created all things, and all things were created for his glory. Now, when we think about this, we're just like, we're having a hard time wrap our minds around this idea that how can a demon be used for God's glory? How can this be? What helps me to understand this is the book of, in Romans chapter 9, verse 21 to 23. It says, has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand in glory? So, how would we know God's delivering power if we had not this cosmic battle that we were facing? If there was not darkness, if there were not demons, if there were not Satan, if there was not this struggle that we have in this earth, how will we know how good God is? How will we know how strong is his hand to deliver us? Think about the Israelites and how they were in Egyptian slavery. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, where he would not let God's people go. He refused over and over again. It took 10 plagues before he finally gave in. You know what this did? Because he was so stubborn, because his heart was so hard, it seemed impossible for man, in man's point of view. But it made the deliverance that much more greater, because God said, I see what man can do, but watch what God can do. And so God delivers his people out of Egyptian bondage. How glorious it looks. How much greater does God look whenever he pulls you out of wickedness and pulls you out of darkness and brings you into the marvelous light. I look at my life in times past, and I see the darkness that I was in. I see the wickedness of my own self. And I see, wow, God has done a great work in me. He has pulled me out of that, and he has brought me into light. But how would I have known that if there was not wickedness, if there was not darkness, if there was not a stronghold in my life? How would I know his delivering power? But because I've experienced that, how much greater is God? How much greater is his victory? How much greater is his word that is able to set me free? And so with this understanding, we can begin to see how even demons, they serve the purposes of God. Now, again, whenever God creates something, he creates something that is good. Amen. It was Satan in his own deceit and his own envy of God that rose up within him, and that's what God came against. You know, God gives us the same thing. He gives us the free will. He says, look, I'm going to give you this free will where you can choose to worship me, or you can choose to live for me. You can choose to live for the devil. That's up to you. Because he wants you to love him. He wants you to choose him from your heart, with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. He wants you to love him, as the scriptures would say, with all that is within you, that you would choose Jesus. So we have this conflict. We have this conflict in this cosmic battle between angels and demons. Definition of a demon, if anyone was interested. Demons, spiritual beings which are hostile to both God and man. They are agents of Satan who afflict humans either bodily or mentally. Perhaps you have this unhealthy affliction either bodily or physically, you know, either bodily or mentally. It could be that you're oppressed by a demon. Amen. So when we look at the whole scheme of things, and you might wonder, where did demons come from? I kind of told you the story, but I want to give you the scripture reference in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High God. How foolish and how stupid is Lucifer at this point? That you think you're going to overthrow the ever-living God, the everlasting God, omniscient, omnipotent God. You think you're going to overthrow him? How foolish do you think you are, Lucifer? As we know in Isaiah 42:8, the Lord does not share his glory with anyone. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no one, nor my praise to carved idols. So God, in his glory, is still seated on the throne of God. Amen. He is still there. He is still in heaven. He is not moved. Like, we go through COVID and we go through Hurricane Ida and all these things in the earth. Guess what? God is still on the throne, and he has not moved. He has not been shaken. You know, our lives get shaken. Our lives get turned upside down by all these things, but yet he is still on the throne. He is unmoved. He's still there. The enemy is also still there. He's roaming around. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 8, it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And that's his job. He's looking around, seeing who he can devour, who he can disrupt, who he can get to, like, cause them to not believe in God anymore or to have some kind of doubts about God. And there are several instances in the Bible where demons came upon someone and people were possessed by demons. You see their work. You see them prowling around. You see them finding victims. So I want to focus on one this morning. The book of Mark chapter 5 has such a clear explanation of what demons do when they are in the earth. Mark chapter 5 verse 1 through 20. If you have your Bibles, would you turn there, please? Mark chapter 5 verse 1 through 20. And it says in verse 1, it says, they came to the other side of the sea. Who's they? Jesus and his disciples. And to the country of Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, Jesus has an incredible amount of power in his life, where he just gets out of the boat, and all of a sudden demons start taking notice of who he is. If you feel with the Holy Spirit, with the power of the living God, whenever you step on that job, whenever you step at that school, whenever you step into your family, all the demons that are in your family, all the demons that are in your school, guess what? They are taking notice of the Holy Spirit who just walked on site. Amen. They take notice. They're like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Uh-oh. So it says, when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, he didn't do anything. All he did was step out of the boat. Immediately there met him a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart. So he has this demonic supernatural strength that is operating through this man. And he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Let's read that again. No one had the strength to subdue him. No one. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. So now we see the effect that demons have on people. We see that he is isolated. He's sitting in the tombs, you know, outside of community. Crazy story. Whenever I was younger, before I got saved, don't judge me. So my cousin, he has a car, right? And we told my parents that we're going to watch a movie. And that was my intent, to watch a movie. And we're going to watch a movie. Great. All of a sudden, we get in the car and we start going somewhere else, and we're not going to watch a movie. He picks up someone else who has alcohol and everything else. He says, oh, yeah, we're going to sit on top of graves and get drunk. I'm like, oh, no. I'm not doing that. Bring me back. I'm not being a part of that. But this man finds himself among the tombs, isolated from community, isolated from anyone who loved him. And then we also see that he was hopeless. This man was pretty much hopeless. No one could help him. He was beyond anyone's help. He had lost all self-control. He had lost his ability to do good. He was not in his right mind. He was a menace to society. He was in agony, as the scripture says, that he cried day and night, probably just wanting to be free from this pain. And it also says that he was cutting himself among the tombs, causing pain to himself, to numb whatever it is that was possessing him, to try to cover it up. He was cutting himself. This is, in a sense, the effect of demons and what they have on a person's life. He will try to isolate you, get you out of community. Oh, well, it's okay to miss church 3 or 4 times a month. It's okay to isolate yourself out of community. It's okay to, you know, and this is how he does it. It's okay to do this and indulge in this, and then before you know it, you just lost all self-control and no ability to control yourself and your sinful desires and your sinful passions. Start small, doesn't it? It doesn't start. He doesn't come in, hey, I'm Satan, listen to me. He starts small. And eventually, he begins to get you where he wants you, get you isolated, separated from community, get you pretty much good for nothing. You lost your effectiveness. You lost your ability to be effective in the earth. Maybe even in agony and pain, just crying out and don't even know why. This is the effect of demons. So how did this man get to this place? And while the scriptures doesn't specifically say this, in other parts of the scriptures, and like in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, 26 to 27, he talks about how we give the devil a foothold. And in this particular reference, it says, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. And so there's this foothold. What does that mean? It means that the devil has a place to work from in your life because you have opened up a door in your life. And so now he has this open door where he can come in and come out as often as he would like to because you've given him a foothold. You open the door. You've given the devil a foothold in your life, and so now he has that foothold. I believe this is what happened with this man. Eventually, after yielding himself and surrendering his will to Satan, basically, to demons, he finds himself in this place, cutting himself, isolated, in the tombs. You may be wondering, can this happen to anyone? Can this happen to Christians? Let me just explain something. A Christian can never be possessed by the devil because you are the possession of God. You have been bought and redeemed with a price by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can never be possessed by the enemy because God owns you. He is your master. You have a new master. Sin is not your master anymore. But I guarantee you, a Christian can be oppressed by the enemy. As a pastor, I have been oppressed by the enemy. Like, you find yourself in situations where things are just not breaking, and it seems like one after the other, this after that, and you're like, man, what in the world is going on? You need to hit your knees. You need to grab your sword and begin to fight because you're fighting against a real devil who is out to destroy you, and you need to rise up in the authority that Jesus Christ has given you and begin to rebuke that devil and begin to declare the word of God over that situation. Amen. So there's a difference between being possessed and being oppressed. You are God's child. You have been bought with a price. There is no way that a devil is going to have possession of you But he will try to disrupt you. He will try to disrupt your family. He will try to destroy you because he hates the fact that you represent the image of God on the earth. And that is what he's coming after. Your marriage represents the image of Christ's love for the church. And that is what he's coming after. He hates it. I don't care. Hate it because I'm going to live for the Lord. I am who the Lord made me. I am made in his image and in his likeness. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I ain't scared of no demon. You know, I have God on my side. You don't have to be scared of the devil if you have God on your side. This man finds himself isolated among the tombs, lost his ability to do good. But I like what begins to happen. Because just because demons have this effect on this man, don't you know that the power of the Son of God has an even greater power and a greater effect? Before we get there, I'm kind of jumping. Let's backtrack just a little bit. How does this possession accomplish the purposes of God? How does this bring glory unto God? So we think about this man. We think about he's in a pretty rough place. How does this bring glory unto God? Go back to that verse where it says, no man could bind him. No one had the strength to subdue him. This is what makes it this passage so beautiful and so awesome, because it points to God's delivering power. When man's ability falls short, when man's ability cannot produce freedom in this man's life, God's power does. God's power does. And so, when in continuing in verse 6, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. Don't you know that even demons tremble at the mention of the name of Jesus, that they too will bow down to the Son of God? They realize the Master has stepped on the earth and they fall on the ground. Just as the prophets in the Old Testament, whenever they seen an angel appear before them, they fell flat on their face. Demons fall flat on their face whenever the Son of God appears in their situation. And so when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew that he had all authority that was given to him by God, right? In the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says this, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Jesus knew who he was. Then he begins to ask the demon, who are you? Look at it in verse 9. He says, and Jesus asked him, what's your name? He replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs. Let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned. Did you see what happened here? The demons could do nothing unless they got permission from the Son of God, first of all. They had to ask for permission. And they said, send me to the pigs. They couldn't go on their own will. The pigs were not in control. The man was not in control. The demons were not in control. Jesus, the Son of the living God, is in control. This should get you very excited this morning, because you might be oppressed and the demons might be oppressing your life, but they can only do what God has allowed them to do. And that you must know that he is a good God and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability, and that with every temptation he will provide a way of escape. You must know that you serve a good and great God, and that though you are oppressed, it might have been allowed by God, but he knows your breaking point. He knows that she can make it. He can make it. He's not going to be broken by this. He's going to have faith. He's going to rise up. Think about the story of Job. Going back to Job. At the very beginning of the story, Satan goes to God, and they're having a conversation. And God's bragging about Job. He's like, Satan, do you see my son Job? He is like, there's no one like him in the earth. He's faithful. He loves me. And Satan's like, yeah, that's because you protect him. But let me wreak havoc in his life, and then he's going to curse you to your face. That's my demon voice, but I mean, thank you. And then so even Satan had to ask permission from God in order to afflict Job's life. Now what happens? God allows Satan to wreak havoc in Job's life. But here's the thing. God already knew the end at the beginning. He already had plans to bless Job. He already knew that Job would get twice as much as he had in the beginning. And that's the good God that we serve. We must know that. We must believe that. Though you are tempted and though you may be oppressed at times, just know that you will not be oppressed more than what God has allowed. And that he is a good God and he will see you through it. Amen? Isn't that encouraging? That the devil doesn't have any control. He's powerless. He has to ask permission from our Creator. Amen. Just know Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Continuing in our story today, verse 14. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it begged them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with them. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has mercy upon you. And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him and everyone marvel. It's an amazing thing that takes place. Jesus begins to undo everything that demons did to this man. He was isolated and among the tombs. Jesus sends him back into community. He says, go with your family. Go back into your friends. Go back into those places. God, he begins to restore everything that the devil has stole from him. He was hopeless. Jesus gives him hope because now he's free. He no longer has this oppression anymore. Come on. Where is he lost self-control? He is said sitting right there, just sitting, being controlled of himself. Controlling himself where he was not in his right mind. It says that he is now in his right mind. Whenever he was a menace to society, Jesus says, I'm going to send you as an evangelist to your community. And go and tell everyone what has happened in your life. Whenever he was in agony and pain, he's no longer in pain after an encounter with Jesus. As he was cutting himself, he no longer has to do that anymore because Jesus bore upon himself every single stripe, every single sickness, every single infirmity on his body. He bore it for us so that you don't have to inflict pain on yourself. You don't have to hurt yourself anymore. Jesus undid everything that demons did to this man. That is the power of Jesus Christ. That is the power of the Son of God. One last thing. Jesus not only did this, but he teaches us to do the same. In the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 7 and 8, he says, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without pay, give without pay. So the expectation is that you would do the same. How do you do that? I would give you one more scripture, and that's found in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7. First, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. If you don't submit yourself, therefore, to God, then forget about the rest. You first must be submitted unto God. Then he says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. You don't have to be oppressed anymore by the devil. You don't have to live your life like this. You can rise up in faith. He has given you the authority. The same authority that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. And you can speak to demons and tell them, you got to go. You got to go. You're no longer welcome here. You're not welcome in my house. You're not welcome in my kids. You're not welcome in their schools. You got to go. Will there be some believers that rise up? Will there be Christians who say, I'm going to take this word and I'm going to stop letting the enemy destroy my life, and I'm going to declare the word of God and expel demons from my life? Come on, is there any believers in this place today? Would you stand to your feet? We're going to tell the demons they got to go. I don't know what demons you're facing this morning. Perhaps you're even cutting yourself. I don't know, but I want you to know this morning that there is a God, and he sent his son Jesus so that you can have authority over the enemy and stop letting him whip your tail. Rise up in the name of Jesus. Rise up, O man of God. Rise up, O woman of God. Begin to declare over your families. Begin to declare over your kids that the devil will not have them. They belong to the Lord. My kids belong to the Lord. Back off, Satan. Back off, devil. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you off of this church right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you off of this city. Spirit of darkness, you gotta go. Because Jesus lives on the inside of me, and he has given me authority over you in the name of Jesus. You've got to learn to vocalize your prayers and let the devil know, I'm not playing around with you anymore. I'm not playing around with you anymore. Come on. I might have been isolated. I might have had no purpose, but the Lord has changed that. Amen. Has anyone else in this place have been changed by the Lord? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Perhaps demons of alcohol and drug addictions and addictions of many kinds have been passed on from one generation to the next generation, and you're just a byproduct of those things. It's time for you to rise up in the power of the name of the Lord Jesus and rebuke that off your life. Those demons got to go. Maybe you've been victims of abuse and you carry around hatred in your heart. Guess what? Those demons have to go. Don't give them a foothold. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life anymore. Shut the door. Shut the door. Shut the door and say, get out, Satan. Amen. But I need you to pray this morning, church. Whatever it is that you're facing, I need you to rise up. I need you to begin to declare. I need you to begin to be husbands, fathers, be the leaders in your home, and begin to declare the word of God over your family. I need you. Come on, can I get a few good men in this place? A few good men who's going to rise up and do this? Can I get a few good ladies in this place who's going to do this? I think the ladies are a little bit louder this morning than the fellas. God, we worship you because we know, Lord, our power comes from you. The strength comes from you, Lord. It's not about us. It's all about you. It's all about you inhabiting our hearts, oh God. And you have given us the power. You have given us the authority through Christ Jesus. So we praise you. We glorify your holy name in this place, oh God. Let your name be exalted. Your name be glorified, oh God. We lift you up, oh Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you and we give you all the praise. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that we would walk in victory, Lord God, from this day forward, that we would walk in victory. Just thank you. We just give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name. And let the church of God say amen. Hallelujah.